Listeners, happy anniversary. Today marks 1 year that we have been doing the Disquietude podcast. Our first episode, The Ruth Price Call, was published on July 22nd, 2019. That seems like 10 years ago now, and considering everything that's happened in 2020. So we just wanted to do a quick little bonus episode where we talk about just the podcast in general, the past year, our favorite episodes and moments and things like that. it's funny because we just passed 15,000 total plays, which it's weird because in the context of the literal millions of podcasts that there are out there, that may not seem like a lot, but if your podcast has over 15 or over 10,000 total plays, you're in the top 75% of all podcasts.
Holy shit, I didn't even know that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I read that stat on Reddit, or the top 25 percentile, meaning that 75% of podcasts do not even get 10,000 total plays.
Oh, wow.
And
hi, we love you.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? That's just kind of, and it's funny because if over a year, 12 months, 15,000 plays, that's some quick math, what, roughly a little over 1,100 plays a month. That's a really good amount for any fledgling podcast. Most podcasts don't even make it past 10 episodes. I think the average was 6.
Yeah,
on the research I did when we started this podcast. And that's what everyone was saying. Just keep going. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Just don't give up. And that's what we've done. So over a year, the kind of growth that we've seen is really amazing to me. So I'm excited about the next year. We're going to make even bigger moves if the earth still exists this time next year, because we don't know what the hell is going to happen. We're still recording over Skype and doing this because we love doing it and we love the feedback I get. I know that our schedule's been kind of wonky lately, but I've had listeners hit me up on Facebook like, hey, how are you guys doing? You guys okay? Like, you guys aren't dead or anything? So thanks for being understanding. Everyone, thanks for all of the support. Like I said, 15,000 plays is big, big stuff. So yeah, Allie, Tiff, the two that have been since day one. It's
been
the three of us since day
one.
That's right. You weren't here for the first two episodes. You were still in Atlanta.
You were here in spirit, though.
Jersey. Well, you came on for the Black Eyes Kid. Black Eyes Kid episode. Okay. Yeah. That was our fourth episode, I believe.
And for sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for devoted listeners that have listened all the way back, Tiffany was discussed as coming onto the show from the very beginning.
That's right. Yeah, that is
really?
Correct.
You guys mentioned me at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to my shout out.
Yeah. So, yeah, those of you that have been since day one, wow, man, you guys are troopers. You guys have been through the bad times,
the worst of times,
the worst, the terrible off topic bloviations. So, yeah, I just think back to that. Here's the thing. I think maybe our expectations were too high. I was really surprised at how well the first episode went. I thought the audio quality was not terrible. I thought the conversation, it went exactly almost how I envisioned it. Now, if I could go back, of course, there are a few things that I could change, and I can always go back and edit all these episodes, but I typically leave them untouched because I want to go back and hear that progression of how we got better. The only episode mm-hmm. I've gone back to re-edit was the Satanic Panic episode, because for some reason, and if any of our listeners can tell us maybe why this happened, that episode blew up and we didn't advertise it or post it anywhere, not that I know of. It was just one morning I wake up and it's got 1,000 plays, and I couldn't figure out why, and there were a lot of technical issues and audio mistakes in that episode. So I'm like, great, now all these people, this is their introduction to our podcast, by the way. So now I have to go back to the episode and clean up all the dirty audio and stuff. But besides the episode, I haven't gone back and touched a single one of those early episodes. So those of you that soldiered through those days, thank you very much for being on the journey.
Yeah, we appreciate it by far.
All right, so let's see. Favorite episode, Tiffany.
Oh, how did I know I was going to go first?
Because you're a little sister.
My favorite episode is probably Dear David.
That was going to be mine, too.
Really? David.
Yeah, I feel like that was probably, even though that was like, what I don't remember what episode number that was, but after that episode, I was like, wow, this is going to be a really, like, this is going to be the best. And I feel like after that episode, I feel like every time I listen, I say, okay, no, this is the best one. No, this is the best one. But I loved that episode because I had did some research, but I didn't do as deep of research, I think, as Tyrone, I think, as you did. So I was kind of like reacting as if I was somebody just listening to it. But I don't know. I think that was just such an interesting story.
It was a good turning point for the podcast. That was actually our 12th episode. Okay. That was the Satanic Panic episode. That was the last episode in which Dane was on the panel. And then we did the Nepropetrovsk Maniacs. It's incredible that we can even pronounce that now because we couldn't.
I know.
But we did that episode. And then we did Dear David. And that was the first episode where it was just the three of us because Brandon hadn't come on at that point. And I feel like that was one of the first episodes where I was using a lot of different techniques in post-production, adding music, things like that to set the mood. And it came out really, really well. So that's probably, that's not necessarily my favorite topic, but it's my favorite episode.
I like that topic, but that's probably one of my top favorite topics, though. But
Allie?
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to follow up on one of the subjects that we just brought up. I've been in pretty constant communication with Brendan, and he's still in Florida through quarantine. For listeners that weren't aware, Brendan was actually living with me at one point in time. And he's been, since the start of COVID, or at least the lockdown in the United States, he's been living in Orlando on a farm, and he's been like sending me pictures of like chickens and shit.
That's awesome.
I know. He was like, this chicken is my best friend.
That's great.
But yeah, he's doing fine. And unfortunately he's just not a part of the group because he needed to take a, he needed to take a break, and then he's just been in the middle of, you know, quarantine blues and everything that comes with it. So, but he's doing okay. He's fine.
Good, good. We love Brandon. I'd love for him to come back, even if it's just in a guest host capacity. He was great. I'm very thankful for him for coming on the show, to fill the void that Dane left. Although, I don't know if I'd call it a void.
You said he was in Florida living on a farm. It made me think about one of our other favorite episodes, the Jonestown. It made me think about like him living in Jonestown. Like just
so
in
this Jonestown might have been one of my favorite topics.
Oh, really?
That was a great episode. That was our first conspiracy theory episode. We really hadn't done any conspiracy theory episodes prior to that,
and so like that was the first episode that we did that it was Jonestown. I had been through like backwards and forwards before. I had listened to so many podcasts about it. I had watched documentaries, and this was such a new angle on Jonestown that I hadn't even considered, hadn't even researched, that it was like, oh my God, this all makes sense. You know, it was just like, I think that was like, out of all of our episodes, I have a lot of favorites, but that was the one that totally changed my outlook on something that was such a, like a huge part of my knowledge of like US pop culture, you know?
Right. Yeah, everyone knows about Jonestown, but do they really know about Jonestown? And the thing is, to me, I actually like conspiracy theories because they're amusing to me, because people will cherry pick facts in order to make conspiracy theories kind of fit. And typically those facts are rooted in knowledge that they do not have. Like, I'm not going to get deep into September 11th conspiracy theories, but like, I study aeronautical engineering at Embry-Riddle, so I know about the dynamics of airplane crashes and why some of those conspiracy theories are kind of bunk, whereas most people don't. To them, well, that makes sense, is how they think about it. However, with Jonestown, and I've said this before, conspiracy theories, the best ones are the ones that are not necessarily theory, they're conspiracy fact after the fact. And Jonestown was that. No one thought Jonestown was a conspiracy until the evidence came out, essentially the declassified evidence, saying, oh yeah, by the way, this was totally a conspiracy. So that was one of my favorite episodes, and I think it kind of got glossed over because we went from talking about, you know, that was right after Halloween, it was the beginning of November. So we've gone from talking about paranormal. By the way, here's this conspiracy theory about how Jonestown was a CIA front to destabilize civil rights movements in the United States in the 60s counterculture. And everyone was like, what? What? Well, and
the wild thing about that episode, so not just that it was glossed over, because I think everyone, when they see Jonestown, they think, oh, I know the story, you know?
Right.
Not just because of that, but like, just the parallels between like our current state of affairs and Jonestown. Like, it's you see, like, in Portland, and then it was announced, what, I think in the last 24 hours, that they're going to have these weird secret police, like, black bagging people in Chicago and shit. Like, it's just such a weird...
It is. It's funny because CIA conspiracies kind of became a bit of a theme for us after that. We've done three more episodes right. That only one of them dealt directly with the CIA, the Project MK Ultra episode, which was very, very popular, by the way. But then we did an episode on Grace Walden Stevens, in which through the course of that episode, we kind of determined she might have been a victim of the Jonestown massacre. That was not, by the way, that wasn't scripted or something that we thought of before the episode. That was one of those things throughout the course of the episode. We're like, hold on, wait a sec.
Yeah, that was all just research. Like, holy shit, things just tie back. It's crazy.
Yeah, surprisingly, the CIA has not knocked on my door. So,
oh, trust me, we're on that list though.
Yeah, probably so. So that might be one of my favorite. Although I really liked all the paranormal topics that we did. I'd like to delve back into that. A few of our listeners have reached out and said, hey, are you guys ever going to start doing paranormal stuff? My oldest daughter, who is a big fan of the show, reached out. She wants more conspiracy theory stuff. She likes that stuff. And the conspiracy theory stuff tends to be our biggest driver of interactions with listeners.
They tend to be the most complicated and the most like juicy in the terms of like research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, mainly because you can throw in a lot of conjecture.
Yeah.
You can throw in things like, well, what if we do live in the Matrix? And everyone's like, oh yeah, what if we do? And it's like, there's no basis in fact for that. It's just some shit I made up. But people like
that. Well, there was that one time I had a dream.
Right, yeah. So whereas things that are more fact-based, I think, facts cannot be argued. If I tell you that something happened and we know it happened.
Facts don't care about my opinions.
Yeah, facts don't care about your opinions. So, all right, what is your least favorite episode? Don't be afraid.
I'm not sure, actually. I would say the Body Farm episode, but that's kind of a lie because I actually love the subject of the Body Farm.
Forgot about that episode. That was our second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I Yeah, I don't know if I dislike the episode. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like the topic better than the episode. The topic was great. And, you know, we should probably revisit it, but the episode wasn't good. We were still feeling our way around.
I mean, I love, for listeners that haven't listened to that episode, I love the subject of forensic science. I love following forensic pathology on Instagram and social media and kind of like, you know, taking that opportunity to educate myself on many things. I find the body farm and like studying how bodies decay very educational. But and for background, that's because forensic science has, you know, come to the forefront and saved like babies with like studying SIDS and mm-hmm. things like that. Like they've made major breakthroughs that have, you know, come to, and even with COVID, they've found things, you know, just through forensic pathology that have saved lives. But it's just that episode itself, maybe I wasn't the proudest of. Again, it was like our second episode.
There were a lot of jokes in that episode. Yeah, there were some interesting jokes in that episode. There may have been drugs involved in that episode as well. That was an interesting episode.
I can't remember.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point exactly. So, I think that one might be my least favorite episode. Out of all of the beginning episodes, the first 10, none of those are particularly like heartfelt to me, honestly, except for maybe the Aleister Crowley episode. I felt like that was a good episode. That was
pretty heartfelt for me, just because that was one that I think I had proposed to you saying, right, like, there's definitely 1,000 conspiracies that lead back to this one dude. So let's just cover them instead of, because everybody in terms of podcasts, they always cover Aleister Crowley, but they don't talk about all the like wild shit that you could just really delve into on the internet with.
Yeah, we've talked about interdimensional portals and nuclear weapons testing thing. A lot of things from modern society that was ended up being tied back to Aleister Crowley. So that was I really liked that episode. And that's a fairly popular episode out of our
first
10. That episode was for a long time was our most listened to episode besides the Ruth Price episode. Funny story to listeners about that episode. So that episode is very long. It's an hour and 30 minutes, okay? The original recording time of that episode was almost 3 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes. And the reason it went so long is because I had to edit out a debate.
Do you hear the heavy sigh?
Between myself and Dane. Dane was trying to make the point that Aleister Crowley was more than just like this wizard, you know, this arcane magician. Because Aleister Crowley was noted for doing poetry. He wrote books. He was a mountaineer, whatever the fuck that is.
Okay, so for the listeners that actually listened to that episode, and I don't remember if I covered it in that episode, but if you want to call Aleister Crowley a poet, he literally wrote a poem about farts. Like,
no,
he's not a poet.
He's not a poet. And that was the point we were trying to make was that no one cares about those things. We know Aleister Crowley as a magician.
And when someone is opening a portal to hell and he wrote a poem about farts,
thank you very much. No one cares about fart poetry and climbing mountains. This man could summon the Loch Ness monster. He lived on the Loch, and apparently he could summon Nessie at will. That's what he's known for. But Dane tried to make the parallel, and then he took it to the Hitler conversation. Well, Hitler was a painter, and it just went off the rails after that, and I ended up having to say, okay, we are way the fuck off topic, and I cut a large chunk of that episode. If anyone wants to hear it, You will not.
And also, if anyone wants to argue that Hitler was a painter, go fuck yourself.
I mean, he painted.
Sure,
he painted.
In the same sense that, yeah, you know, some people paint the bowl when they take a shit.
Right, like, yeah. He, I mean,
what?
Technically. Technically, he put paint on a canvas. So
fuck off. Hitler wasn't a painter.
Hitler was not a painter. Let's see. Tiff, what's your least favorite episode?
Probably the Aleister Crowley episode.
No, stop it.
Was Tiff even? Yeah, Tiff was here.
Well,
yeah.
That was only like my second episode, I think. I had researched, you know, did my research prior to that episode. But I think I was, even after doing the research, I was still so confused about Aleister Crowley. And then once we started talking about him, there was just like all this stuff about him. And he was just so weird. And I was just like, what? Who is this person?
That's fair. That's completely fair.
So I was just kind of like, what? Not that it was a bad episode. That was probably just my least favorite.
One of those, like, people where there's so much on the internet about this one person because they have right wingers that want to, you know, play him up to be this kind of antichrist figure, and then you have people that are just like, no, he was just kind of this eccentric dude. So you have to like parse through what's fact and what's fiction, and it kind of gets really, especially if you're not like devoted to the subject, it's like, this is a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so what do you guys, what is the funniest episode to you? Because we do
I'd
yuck it up.
Say the
at
Lost
times.
Colony.
We
the
do.
Roanoke one was probably the funniest one to me. Like when I actually went back and listened to that one,
Which one?
The Lost Colony of Roanoke.
Lost Colony.
With the Hot Ones episode.
That should not be the funny episode, but.
Yeah, go back and listen.
So for listeners that have listened to that episode and have very valid complaints about that episode, yeah, the misophonia is off the charts in many parts, but re-listening to our reactions, hilarious.
It's weird because there's a lot of cool facts in that episode, but no one really talks about that. They talk about us eating these insanely hot
the
sauces and wings. Yeah.
The sound of the chicken.
Like the worst book report ever. That's what that episode is. The worst book report ever. Very fun. I think the funniest episode is is the Dark Web episode was the funniest to me.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking funny.
That was also one of our most popular episodes, mainly because it was unexpectedly funny. I kind of expected us to have some fun with the hot sauce and the chicken wings. However, the Dark Web episode, that was supposed to be a serious episode. Like, that was supposed to be like some creepy, like, oh, we're going to delve into the Dark Web shit. And it was totally not that at all. It was just a bunch of just ridiculous shit, honestly. And it was very, very funny, especially the pancake batter story. It's very funny.
I want to say any interaction that I had with Brendan where he was playing that like weird big brother role, that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
He always brought that
also
to the table.
I think the McCamey Manor episode was very funny, honestly.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was an episode I wish had got a little bit more play, and maybe the next it came out. It didn't release till after Halloween, I think, which is what the issue was. So I might boost that episode major, you know, this October because I felt like it could have got more love. It was a very funny episode, actually. Mm-hmm. So
I really liked our medieval torture episode. That was one that I kind of needed.
That's true. That was a fairly recent one. That was only two episodes ago. That was
a really funny one where, like, I remember just leaving the recording session like, oh, that was funny as shit. Like, I can't I have to, you know, my cheek muscles are all yeah, that was
very, very, very funny. Those are the episodes where we can kind of, because, all right, so someone asked me, are you guys a comedy podcast? And I'm like, no, actually, we are not. It's just sometimes things are funny and we don't shy away from making light of certain things, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've always strived to do is just let the tone of the episode be what it is. There are some episodes that we'll go into like, okay, guys, we have to treat this with some tact. But for the most part, we don't do that. And if it's funny, if it's funny, if it's not, it's not. So yeah, we are not a comedy podcast, but we do like to have some laughs at time from time to time. So,
well, we're horror fans, so automatically our sense of humor is a little dark. That's just what it is. We're never gonna laugh at the expense of like victims, because that's icky, you know. But when it comes to laughing at some like piece of shit fucking methed out scumbag who just records his voice into some shit and says, hey, drink some fucking Kool-Aid, like, I'm gonna make fun of that guy. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And plus, we don't like to, there are some other podcasts out there that, you know, there are of the same ilk of disquietude, and I think their hosts have a very dark sense of humor like we do. However, I think the difference is I think you can do that and still be respectful of, because 100%. the truth of the matter is that almost every episode that we've done, there are victims involved, like real life people who were affected by some of these cases. And we mentioned this in the, this episode has not been published yet, but we talk about a young woman who went missing, and we talk about, man, we hope her family doesn't listen to this, because there was one part where we were just kind of, we weren't riffing on her, but, you know, there was a funny moment. And so sometimes I'm cognitive of that. I'm like, okay, or cognizant of that. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, you know, what if someone listens to this and is like, ew, those guys. So. So it depends. It just depends. For instance, we did an episode on Heaven's Gate cult, and the Heaven's Gate cult has become kind of pop culture ish, you know, because everyone remembers the Nikes and the black uniforms and all of those things. And it's very easy to riff on the Heaven's Gate cult. It's easy to riff on all cults, but that cult in particular, mainly because of their, beliefs that, you know, aliens were going to come get them on a comet and all kinds of stuff. So I think the original intent for that episode was to kind of be like that. But we reached out to the Heaven's Gate cult, one of the surviving members, and they corresponded back with us. And after that, I felt like, okay, it would be really shitty for me to reach out and be like, hey, can you give us some insight? And then we exploit that for laughs.
Right.
So that was one of those situations where, you know, we still had some good laughs during that show, and it was a great episode. But I felt like that was one of those instances where, you know, okay, let's dial it back a bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, at the same time, maybe I don't share their beliefs, but I can respect them. Like, they're not so far out on, you know, a branch that I'm like, that's,
you know what? Yeah,
wild.
After doing the research and doing the episodes, they're not much different than like the people I grew up going to church with. Like, honestly, like, it's just truly, they believe in an alien, and the people I went to church with believe in Jesus, who probably was an alien. So,
well, yeah, and according to Scientologists, he totally was. So it's kind of like,
exactly. So, and plus, one of the things we uncovered in that episode is like they were like the nicest cult ever. They were just nice. Yeah. They're great neighbors. You know, they helped out people in their communities. They tipped very, very well when they went out to eat. It was like, wow, these are great guys. So we decided to give them the respect they deserve. And, you know, there's some episodes where we don't, like the Nepro for Children's Maniacs.
Oh, fuck those guys. Yeah,
fuck those guys. Fuck them.
Those guys suck ass.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about them. Fuck them. That episode, for some reason, it was weird. That episode was not very popular. It was always at the bottom of total number of listens. And then suddenly it saw a sharp increase. So,
wow.
I don't know what edgelore group on Facebook shared it out or whatever.
I was going to say it had to be edgelords.
It was edgelords.
That was one of the, for listeners who did listen to it, that was one of the rougher episodes to like research, because you were just like, wow, there's no like salvageable piece of these people. They're just
They were just awful people. And that was, honestly, we've never really done an episode like that before or since where we just talk about, hey, here's an awful person that did awful things.
Yeah.
And also, that episode was the first post-Dane episode, and me, you, and Tiffany, we were still kind of feeling out just being the three of us and dealing with the situation of being down a co-host. And I don't think that was a great, great episode, honestly. The subject matter was very
dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't. So, to be fair, I mean, the research was what it was. The story was what it was. It was a rough story. And listeners that have gone back to our original episodes will know, like, I don't deal well with, just violence against people just for violence's sake, you know?
Right.
It's hard to power through for me.
But you know, that was one of the reasons why I picked that episode, was because that's what made it true horror.
Plus, absolutely.
The idea of the videotape is what we all remember about those crimes. And that, you know, that's one of the things that we wanted to do with Disquietude in the beginning was talk about true horror in the internet era and how technology helps us be able to see true horror when it better happens, or when it happens, you know. So this was one of those cases in which someone had recorded themselves doing these incredibly, just these absurdly violent crimes, just literally murdering random people on the street.
Strangers, just
like, hey, there's a person, let's go kill them in the most violent way that we can imagine and videotape it and put it on the internet. So having said that, what episode was the most disturbing to you? Like, after we did it, it bothered you.
I'm going to let Tiff go first on this one.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right. So I'll start it off. The Adam Walsh episode was particularly rough for me, in my opinion. We had done the Adam Walsh episode was, I mean, we did that one just a few months ago. So we're like 35 episodes in. We're vets at this. We had talked about all kinds of ridiculous stuff. We talked about violent stuff. We talked about everything from child rape, child murders, missing people. We talked about all those things before. We had even talked about Daisy's destruction, pedophilia. We talked about these icky subjects before, but they were always typically in the context of other things. And that was the Adam Walsh episode was the first time where we had to really go into detail about that case, particularly the more gruesome aspects of that case. And we talk about this during the episode, but those gruesome aspects are what made that whole case as popular. I hate to say that word, but it is what it is. As popular as it was in the public eye. Maybe. Yeah, sensational. Yeah, absolutely. The gruesome aspects of it made it sensational. The media was able to report. I don't think the media was sad at all when they had to report that Adam Walsh's head had not been found. Or his head had been found, but his body had not been found.
Nothing
else. Yeah. So, that's just... plus... doing the research, I came across what is believed to be, I didn't find anything to not corroborate this, but it was a picture of Adam Walsh's decapitated head, which is something in the almost 40 years that, you know, I've known about the Adam Walsh case. It's not something that I even knew existed, was an actual, which it makes sense that it would exist, but
it was.
But just coming across that scene, and that was just kind of a tough episode afterward, especially if you got kids, because you're always thinking, what would I have done differently? What would I do if that happened? I mean, I think that's every parent's greatest fear, is that something like that happens to their children and they're completely helpless to stop it. So the Adam Walsh episode was particularly tough for me. No other episode really affected me like that one did. So,
yeah, I'd probably agree with you on that one. That might have been the most difficult one. I was going to say one that was kind of difficult was the Disney one, just because, you know, Disney has such this happy place.
Yeah.
You know, you think of Disney as the happiest place on earth, and then we uncovered all of the weird, crazy, disturbing things about Disney. So kind of made
we love Disney.
Right. Absolutely. But next time I go to Disney World, I think I might feel a little different.
I really like that episode. That's actually one of my favorites, actually. I've listened to, I don't really go back and listen to too many episodes, but that's one that I go back and listen to, actually.
Oh, really?
Disquieting Disney. Yeah. Great.
I don't know what I walked away with the most, like, shaken up by. I would say the Adam Walsh episode, just because I have a kid. And like you said, like, as a parent, you always imagine yourself in that situation. But probably, I think when we did the COVID episode, we all kind of knew what was coming, and we were kind of like pushing it to the back of our heads, mm-hmm. like, maybe it won't come. Maybe it'll be better than what we anticipate. And then it was like, no, it's actually worse.
It's so funny how we, and a lot of other podcasts did too, to be fair, but we totally called it. Like,
oh yeah,
we totally called, well, hey, here's what's gonna happen, you know, if this ever comes to the United States, and oh boy, did it come to the United States. What do you guys think is the most underrated episode? What's the episode that you thought people should have got more listens?
I feel like Archer Avenue was one that was really had it had some hits, dude. It had all-time hits. And like, I feel like if maybe that's one of the ones that I want to go back and revisit, because honestly, in the episode that we covered, there were things in my research that I didn't even bring up. Because I was like, I feel like we've covered enough. Like, there's so many legends around this one fucking road that it's like, mm-hmm. how the hell over this one span of asphalt do we have this many stories?
Yeah, that was the episode I actually remember enjoying when we did that one.
Yeah,
that was a really fun one.
I thought that one was going to be a lot more popular than it was. But it kind of proved to me about how people feel about the paranormal. And people, those episodes just aren't quite as popular because, and here's why I think, the paranormal is always subject to much debate. People either believe in it or they don't. Skeptics will scoff and believers they'll listen. But unlike something like conspiracy theories or true horror, which there really isn't a whole lot to debate, you know, hey, these people killed these people. That's what happened. So, yeah. Archer Avenue and the Black Monk of Pontefract. Man, that episode,
so much fun.
Yeah, if I was a skeptic, that is the episode that would make me say, let me research some more into this. Because the accounts that people were giving about the Black Monk, like being pushed down the stairs and shit like that, that's pretty creepy to me. And
oh, for sure. I mean, and it's just the fact that there's so many accounts of it. It's just like, okay, you know, a couple of people may be making shit up, but there comes a point where it's like, okay, it's clearly not fake.
No, yeah, I agree. I don't know, all the Halloween episodes were like that. I feel like all the Halloween episodes were fairly underrated. The EVP episode, the Black Monk episode, the McKamey Manor episode didn't get enough love. So listeners, if you have not listened to those episodes, go back and listen. You'll like them. I guarantee it. Guarantee.
Guarantee.
Okay, do y'all have any favorite moments? Not necessarily an episode, but just...
That moment where... God, what episode was that? Was it Robert the Doll? Where we heard that mysterious noise. Oh, yeah. We didn't know what it was. Was that the Robert the Doll episode?
I don't remember what episode that was.
I think Brenton was there for that.
Brenton was there, yeah.
Yeah.
There have been a few weird things that happen when we've been recording at my house. We've mentioned this on the show before, but the house that I live in is possibly haunted. And although there hasn't been very many weird things happen in quite a while, but every once in a while we'd be recording and there'd either be like a weird sound or something would move or fall or some weirdness would happen. So,
but this was one where we straight up got into an argument because it was loud.
It was
like, nah, it's just breaks. And we were no, that was in this room.
Breaks. Someone was pulling out of the driveway. My car, the rear brakes are very loud when they're cold. That's what it was. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
We have, you know, we have garbage trucks that drive by all the time. That shit's loud as hell. It wasn't as loud as that. That was in the same room, bruh.
All right. Go back and I don't remember what episode that was. I know I left it in though. I do remember that. I did not edit that moment out. So
can we talk about Robert though? Do we still have him?
Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Robert real quick. So I was just gonna bring him up. So I still have Robert. He's sitting at the end of my bar. He was supposed to be given out for a contest, but then COVID-19 happened. And I was kind of iffy about sending stuff over the mail during a global pandemic. I didn't know if people would be receptive to that or not. So it still the contest still stands. People send a story or you can send anything you want to the Disquietude inbox at www.disquietude.net. Go to contact us. Go down, fill out the form. Tell us a story. Or just say, hey, you guys suck, or you guys awesome, or whatever. And then I will randomly select one of those people, and I will ship you Robert the Doll. Now, I have enough actually in there to just go ahead and do it. But considering everything that's going on, we'll open it back up one more time. Now, this is a replica Robert the Doll. We got him from the museum in Key West. He comes with a pretty cool biography, a book that is signed by the author of the book. A personalized note from Robert the Doll, and the doll himself is a little miniature replica of Robert with his stuff lying. And it comes in like a little plastic carrying case as well. It's kind of cool, actually. So yeah, if you want a replica of a haunted doll in your home, then by all means, just reach out to us.
We promise to Lysol it.
Yeah, he's been sitting there. He's been sitting very good. Very well behaved at the bar. So yeah,
well behaved at the bar. That's
yeah. You know, I don't peg Robert as a big drinker. You know, he just. I never got to doing the Robert the Doll episodes, which we've done two. One was an episode on the doll and the history of the doll, and then we did another episode in which we read the letters that people write to Robert the Doll. Begging for his forgiveness because, as the legend states, if you talk shit about Robert, bad things will happen to you. And the funny thing is, and I wish I was lying about this. I wish I was making this up, what I'm about to say. But after we did the Robert the Doll episode, let's see. Let's count all the things that happened. Now, this was on the Robert the Doll episode was only six episodes into the life of the podcast. And we talked about Robert and we just kind of made fun. We were just kind of picking at Robert. Oh, you're a haunted doll, blah, blah, blah. While I was editing that episode, the hard drive crashed that I was editing the episode on. Hard drive crashed and I ended up having to get a completely new PC. The whole PC actually crashed, okay? Allie got in a car accident.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else happened after that? There were a few more little things that...
Wasn't that when you
started working? I lost my job. Yeah. I lost my job, yeah.
Yeah.
I got fired. You would think I would remember that. So, yeah, it was... We did not write a letter to Robert, but we did apologize over the course of the next few shows, and everything's been great since then, actually. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Robert. I don't doubt his power. So, yeah. So if you want this guy in your house, just let me know. I'll send it to you. Okay. Scariest episode. By the way, there's like this, I think it's a misconception that our show is scary. Like, my mom won't listen to it.
Yeah, because, I have friends that won't listen
to it. Yeah, she's like, oh, it's too scary. I can't. And it's like, it's not even that scary, bro. We're just talking shit about this stuff. So, scariest episode.
Damn, because it's like, what's really scary and then like what's kind of just spooky, you know?
Or even spooky. Spookiest episode or spookiest topic. I don't say spookiest topic because there are a lot of spooky topics that the episodes themselves weren't all that spooky.
I would say for me, I wouldn't say scariest, but maybe creepiest or whatever was for me. That was the Heaven's Gate episode, only because I'm one of those people that I don't know. I'm probably pretty sure I've mentioned this or you've caught this from the podcast, but I am a huge, huge, huge documentary fan. So before we recorded that episode, I watched a documentary about Heaven's Gate, and it was pretty much all the people at the time, or not all the people, but a lot of the people at the time that were part of the, are we calling it a cult? And, you know, like you said, they were so nice and they were talking about what it's like. And to think that just, you know, in a matter of time, they all got together and killed themselves. So I don't know. Like, I just kept reliving that in my head as we were talking about it. And that was kind of like, I guess, the creepiest to me, because I had actually watched that documentary prior to.
I think one of the things that got me the most like shook in terms of research was when we were doing MK Ultra, and I found that tidbit from that doctor that said that the majority of American doctors were like all on board with testing on civilians. That was kind of like just like a what the fuck. That goes against everything I ever understood about the Hippocratic Oath and doctors. You know, it was like, I've been around doctors and medical professionals most of my life, and there's always been a sense of like, you know, we're doing this for the health of other people. And then to see it just take this like moral shift, it was just like bizarre to me. Like, holy fuck. Because honestly, they have so much power over your body.
No, yeah. And the MK Ultra one was fairly disturbing because it, like you said, it just goes to show what our government, the powers will be, the lengths they will go through in order to assert their dominance over the populace. I think for me, one of the creepiest episodes was really all of them, but more so the very first disturbing audio episode that we did, which was one of our more popular episodes. But I thought that the clips that everyone picked were really, really good. The bear attack one, the Timothy Treadwell bear attack one, which you know, a lot of people say that it's not that particular piece of audio is fake, but even if it was, fairly disturbing. I think bear attacks themselves are very disturbing because they're probably more common than you think. You hear people say, or wildlife experts will say, well, bear attacks are really, really rare. And that's true in the grand scheme of how often people are in the same habitat that a bear exists in. Yes, they are rare. And typically, you won't even see a bear. But see, that's the thing. If you see a bear, you're probably fucked. If you see a bear and a bear sees you and the bear is hungry, you're dead. You're going to die. So, and that's what happened in the Timothy Trewell case. And what he had, you know, been around these bears practically his whole life, but he was never around them when they were particularly hungry. And then one day, you know, a bear was hungry. And he's like, you know what? I know this motherfucker's tenant. And it ate him and his girlfriend up. And, and there's audio of the attack. And that was in our first disturbing audio clips episode. And after that episode, a lot of people were hitting me up like, man, that was a really good episode. That kind of fucked me up. So,
yeah, I remember when you played that audio, I was like, ooh,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're getting, like, holy shit.
Okay.
I was not prepared.
No, yeah, that one's still, I haven't listened to that since, actually, because I like to sleep. What is an episode or topic that you would like to revisit?
I don't know. I need a second to think about it.
Maybe Allie, I think you mentioned it, so maybe the torture one, because there were so many that we could have talked about. And that was a funny episode too, so that one was fun to do.
It sounds crazy, but it was relatively lighthearted.
Right. It wasn't like...
Yes. You would think an episode on torture would be more dark, but it really wasn't.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
We were talking about like entrails and like, yeah. But it's still kind of funny.
Well, the thing is it's almost ridiculous. No, I mean, not ridiculous. It's just absurd. When we were researching this and these torture methods and how they thought of these, it's just absolutely absurd. It's, in fact, I would say that modern torture methods are probably more disturbing to me than medieval torture methods, even though modern torture methods probably aren't as gruesome.
Right.
They were just so ridiculous 500 years ago. And almost all of them had some kind of sexual motivation behind them. You know, like, we're going to tie your nuts up and swing you around from a pole, or, you know, it'd be some silly shit like that. And it just, that's just funny to me.
The recipe of comedy is like, you know, the subject plus time, essentially. And it's been however many hundreds of years. So it's like, yeah, there's plenty of time. We can laugh about it.
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. 500 years. We can later, you know, we can laugh. No one was laughing when they had to get the Brazen Bull. There was no laughter.
I was going to say the Brazen Bull.
And that shit. Now, the Spanish donkey probably got a few chuckles, a few guffaws. But yeah, nobody was laughing then. So, for me, if I had to revisit an episode, I think the third episode we did, the Fascination with Death videos. I'd like to do that one again. I really liked that topic, and I felt like the topic actually was probably too good for to be our third episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The topic probably required a little bit more nuance than we could give it, and better conversation than we can give it. And so maybe one day down the line, I'll revisit it. Just because that topic's kind of dear to me, because that really began my fascination with horror. With those videos back in the 80s and trying to sneak and watch them and whatnot. So maybe that might be one that we revisit sometime later down the line. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I feel like I would love to revisit Aleister Crowley just for more theories, honestly.
Yeah, we could have done. Actually, we had talked about doing like a series. And I even think I labeled it volume one. Oh, I did not label it volume one. There are actually quite a few episodes that, for instance, Jonestown. We could do another episode on Jonestown and not miss a beat. There's quite a few topics that we could do continuations of. Satanic Panic, which, you know, that's another episode I feel like maybe deserves a little bit better treatment than we had the ability to give it last year.
Yeah, I think Satanic Panic definitely needs more follow-up because it shaped, and it occurred to me after the episode and even while I was doing the research for it, it shaped so many years of my childhood without me even realizing it, like down to TV, music, like just our entire zeitgeist of the time, mid-90s.
It did that, and the Adam Walsh murder. Those two things tied together just kind of changed the way that people parented their children in the '80s. I remember, you know, I love our mom to death, but she was certainly one of those people that's like everything is the devil, and it's funny because we weren't like a super super church going family or anything like that, but. I just remember I think I mentioned this during the Satanic Panic episode, but I wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons because I'm a nerd. And my mom's like, oh, no, there'll be no Dungeons and Dragons. There'll be no natural 20s in our house. Okay. That is a complete nerd reference. Anyone knows what a natural 20 is. So yeah, you're right. The Satanic Panic just kind of changed the way that, you know, everyone thought about everything. Everything was Satan worshippers, man. I remember hearing Procter & Gamble was owned by a bunch of Satanists.
Yeah.
So.
One of my exes works for Procter & Gamble, so that could be true.
Probably. Okay. Probably.
That's, you know, it's weird because I have an ex. His family was super into God. And... and they wouldn't let me watch Spirited Away with his little sister because there was a witch in it, and he wasn't allowed to watch. He wasn't allowed to watch Sesame Street because of the Count.
What?
Yeah, he was a quote unquote vampire. Yeah, it was wild.
I mean, fair point. He is a vampire.
God. Seriously?
Which you know what? That does make you think, though. The Count is a vampire. He is a vampire. The show doesn't hide that. So, I mean, clearly he drinks people's blood, right?
Did he do that on the show?
They just don't show it. I mean, he's got fangs on the show, right? He's got fangs.
Maybe. Yeah, he totally has fangs.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think the Count should be investigated more thoroughly.
Look, you guys are not.
We don't know what goes on behind the scenes on Sesame Street. So. Oh boy. Okay, so what does the future hold for Disquietude? The truth is, I don't really know. It's just that I enjoy doing this. I enjoy bringing this content to you guys with Allie and Tiffany. We would like to expand our media. One of the intentions was to do more media in general, YouTube videos, which I will do. But with everything that's going on lately, it's surprising how much more difficult it is to create content, even though you would think I have more time to do it, but it just doesn't work that way. You know, I would have thought during a quarantine, during a global pandemic, because I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get these videos done, and no, nope, not at all. So survival is more important.
Than creating things have content. Been hard, and we're really sorry that things are erratic, but it's I'm sure you guys understand it's mentally taxing for you. It's mentally taxing for us. Sometimes it's hard to tell a story because we've, honestly, for me, it's, you know, 9 to 5 dealing with people that can't be considerate for other people. So you're just like wiped out by the end of it.
Yes, absolutely. So, and I'm sure, I think a lot of other podcasts are kind of feeling that pain as well, especially ones like us that do not all record in the same space anymore. I know some are doing that. We've chosen not to at the moment. Maybe soon we'll think about going all back into the studio, but things have to stabilize more here in the United States for that to happen, in my opinion. I just, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So once that gets worse part is over, then we can all get back in the studio.
And I was going to say, I'm just thankful too that technology is the way that it is. And we have,
such
a tech savvy person on our team so that we are able to still produce this content.
Absolutely.
And I hope that our listeners that are in our bubble can hear that there are some rational human beings here.
There's definitely not.
So also another thing, when I started this podcast, I'll be completely honest. I was not a big podcast listener before I started this podcast. I had to listen to other podcasts to figure out, okay, what are podcasts like? So at the time, I did not realize that there were a lot of other podcasts that were very similar to Disquietude. Now, I will say this. I do think that there are a lot of fairly major differences between podcasts like ours, Lore, Last House on the Left, Sword and Scale. All of those podcasts offer very different things contextually, as far as content. Our topics may be the same, but how we approach them, all of those are just vastly different. And I will say, I do feel like there are some topics in our podcast that those podcasts generally won't touch. They're a little bit out of theme for those podcasts. So, however, having said that, we've got imitators out there. Imitators that are up and coming. So, to those, I want to say thank you, actually. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and that lets me know that we are doing something right.
Right.
Because either that means that you listen to our podcast and think, I can do what they do better than they do, which actually is great. If that is the way these people feel, I feel that. Like, I feel that that's how competition is very, very good. So if another podcast says, we're going to do what Disquietude does, we're going to do it better, then I applaud them for that. And I hope they give it their best shot, because it's going to make us step our game up. Or you just may say, hey, I like what they're doing and they look like they're on the up, so I'm going to jump on this train and do the same thing. Then more power to you. Or you could have a TV show that you pitched to the network and it fit. No, I'm not even going to get into that. But yeah, I think I'm very happy with the direction of the podcast and our listeners, all of our fans. One thing I love about our show is that we have such a diverse range of fans, people who are horror connoisseurs, people who love conspiracy theories, true crime buffs. They all just come together for this mishmash. Our Facebook comments on our more popular topics are really funny. They're just amusing, honestly. Especially the conspiracy theory ones. Those are the best. Those are the best. So, in fact, if you have time, go back in, I think it was the MK Ultra episode. There was a guy in the comments who probably made 50 posts about.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah. He had a lot of support, too. People were like, hell yeah, dude. They were like, yeah, you're, oh my God, he's awesome.
There were so many, like, weirdly, you know, like, comments that were just towing the line where it's like, ugh.
Yes. Yeah, and we don't really moderate in that we monitor what everyone's posting, but generally we don't remove posts unless it's just extreme over the line, super edgelord, you know, homophobic, racist, transphobic, you know, anything like that, we'll delete. Fortunately, we don't get too many of those. There are some that toe the line. For instance, our Unit 731 episode, which was a surprisingly popular episode. That was one where I had to take, like, every day I had to look into the comments to make sure it wasn't getting out of hand. Because
there was a lot of Nazi apologia.
Yes, there was. There was, like, kind of like, see, the Nazis weren't the only bad people during World War II. And it's like, well, that's not what we're talking about. And we even mentioned during the episode, hey, look, we know the Nazis and the United States, we ain't nobody's angels, okay? We've all done, all of these countries have done terrible, terrible things to its own citizens and citizens of other countries in the past. We're just focusing on Unit 731 and the Japanese Empire, mainly because this was a topic that is typically not widely, there's just not a lot of content on it, except for, you know, a few weird horror movies about it. So having said that, if you just want to come in our comment section and just wow out on Facebook, feel free. Just go ahead and do that. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. We just want to give you guys a little bit of bonus content. While I'm still, we got two episodes in the backlog, actually. So by the time you listen to this, the other one might be posted. We talk about the disappearance of Aaron Valenti. That is a great episode, honestly. Really great episode. So be on the lookout for that. So anything you ladies want to say?
No. I think I've said all I have to say for today.
I never talked.
Shh, Jet. I'm sorry. My son wants to talk. I just want to say that I'm really happy for the people that have stuck around with us to watch us grow. And hopefully we continue to take our subject and how terrifying our subject matter can be and make it at least entertainingly terrifying for everyone for the next year.
Yes, I agree. We're going to really try and step our game up for our fans that have stuck with us through day one so they can continue to see that progression. Don't want to just plateau. So,
what do you want to say, Jeff?
Well, the talk's over, so I don't know what to say.
What's the scariest thing you can think of?
Slenderman?
Slenderman.
Maybe we can talk about Slenderman.
Okay. Well, Slenderman. We might do a creepypasta episode. So I think that's a good idea. Thank you very much for that, Jet. I'll add that to the roadmap. Because we said one of our hard and fast rules on the Squad 2 is no creepypastas. But that doesn't mean we can't talk about the creepypasta culture as a whole. That would make a great, great episode. Yeah. Thank you very much, Jet.
Cultural impact, yeah.
Yes, that is a great. See, even the kids know horror.
From the mouths of babes.
From off the babes.
All right. Well, like Jet said, the talk is over. So thank you guys. Really not much else to say. So thanks a lot, guys, for listening. And we love you. And hopefully very, very soon you'll hear our lovely voices again.
Bye.